After weeks of careful thought, I've decided the right thing for the Bureau is for me to serve until the end of the current administration in January and then step down. My goal is to keep the focus on our mission, on the indispensable work each of you is doing every single day. And in my view, this is the best way to avoid dragging the Bureau deeper into the fray while reinforcing the values and principles that are so important in how we do our work. Now, it should go without saying, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyways, this is not easy for me. I love this place. I love our mission, and I love our people. But my focus is, and always has been, on us and on doing what's right for the FBI.
Well, Chris Wray going to, well, I mean, of course he's going to step down, and he needed to. And I think that, I think there was one soundbite that Trump had said, well, what's wrong with him? You know, why did he, basically kind of questioning why he turned out to be such a...
Yeah, social media posts.
Why he was such a, I'm trying to think of a polite way to put it, and I don't think there's a, you know, an SOB. I don't know how else to put it. Yeah, or that. So welcome to the show, Dana Lash with you, top of this first hour. And we have, gosh, it's, I mean, honestly, most of everything is boring as all hell. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to go over the same, like, lower level cabinet picks. Do we need to know, like, who's going to, I mean, it's important to know, but I feel like you guys can look that up. You guys can do it on your own time because there's other stuff that we have to touch on, too. We only have 3 hours, and that doesn't seem like, it seems like a long time, but it's not a long time. So Chris Wray is out, which, you know, we knew it's paving the way, probably, I would say, for Kash Patel, right? I mean, that's kind of, that's where we're going. I mean, that's what it looks like anyway. But I don't know. There's a lot of back and forth as to whether or not he's going to have difficulty getting confirmed, Kash Patel. I kind of think that maybe he, I just don't know if there's any baggage. I feel like it would have already come up. Honestly, wouldn't it have? It would have already come up. If he had any baggage, it would have already been out there. Yeah. So I feel like he's going to get, I feel like he's going to be fine. He's, I don't think it's going to be an issue with him. I feel like he's going to end up being confirmed. So that's just some of the latest. So Chris Wray stepping down, he's finally, and I do think that that was one of Trump's worst moves is putting him in there. He had a lot of, if you remember, Chris Wray had a lot of objections to him from the beginning, if memory serves, right? There, a lot of people were objecting to him in the beginning. And it, I feel like there's, you know, there was good reason as to why. He's, you know, he's kind of a, he was kind of a bureaucratic swamp beast, I guess. Is that the best way to put it? Yeah, we're going to go with that. He was kind of like a bureaucratic swamp beast. And that's just the, I don't think that you can work with someone. It's just not, it's, he's compromised. And the FBI, considering everything that the FBI was responsible for doing, I mean, if you look at the tagging of parents as domestic terrorists, which was, you know, by itself, you know, pretty insane, the tagging of parents as domestic terrorists, the complete, I mean, missing so many things, the terrorist incidents that took place on his watch, on Chris Wray's watch. So this is just all, you know, some, it's good that he's gone. It's good that he's gone. Now, I don't know how long he's going to stay in. I mean, because you're going to have an acting FBI director. So that's not beyond the realm of possibility to have an acting FBI director. But I think Kash Patel, I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be fine. So also the big news today is the number of commutations. I was actually reading about this. This is the first thing I was reading about this morning. The commutations coming from Joe Biden. It is the largest in, I don't know, American history. They keep saying modern American history, but I feel like I don't know of any other historical time, excuse me, where there's been this many commutations. It's the largest single day act of clemency in modern history, and it is 4.5 times the number that was granted by Barack Obama, who held it previously at, what, 330? And that was his last full day in office in 2017. And he did all of these commutations at that particular time. So Biden, I mean, you're looking at 1,500 people. 1,500 people. And then there were an additional 39 that were involved in nonviolent crime. So you had 39 people involved in nonviolent crime. And it was, what, I mean, over four and a half times, but 1,500 people. Some of these were violent crimes, though, by the way. I feel like it's important to kind of, you know, FYI. Some of them were. This idea that they weren't is, that's kind of laughable. So in looking at this, these commutations, they said that some of them affect individuals who were placed on home confinement due to the coronavirus rules. And they served out those sentences for about 1 year after they were released. And they said that the news of the, I mean, they, that's an insane amount of people. 1,500, and are you counting Hunter Biden amongst? I wonder if there's like an extra for his brother or any, has anybody gone through all of them yet? Has anybody, because there are a lot of Bidens that are, you know, you could have his brother, who's his brother, Jim Biden? You could have Jim Biden up there. You know, it's very important to make sure that we're reading through all this stuff. So, just saying. So, the these commutations, single day, the single largest for these commutations, 1,539, largest single act of clemency. Pretty unbelievable. And, of course, it's Joe Biden who did it. Are people surprised? Are they surprised? They said that they had high-level discussions about preemptive pardons and for people who they felt might be a target. They're looking at protecting all of these people that they think are going to be targeted by the Trump administration. That's not really how Trump... I mean, he didn't do it the first time, so why would he do it the second time? Why would he do it the second time? He didn't do it the first time. He didn't go after Hillary Clinton. He didn't go after her. He even said, no, I'm just going to take it easier. I'm not going to do it. So I'm not quite sure what, I just think that's stupid. That's just so goofy. He never did that the first time around. So that's one of the other things, and we're going to come back to this, one of the other things that we're watching as well. Also, a couple of other things to touch on. And I'm looking at some of the audio that we have here that I wanted to get into. So the president, audio soundbite 9, he was named Time's Person of the Year. He opening bell at the New York Stock Exchange this morning. Watch. With the whole fan. This is not his first time doing this, right? I mean, it's Trump. He's had to have done it before. He's got his Time Person of the Year. How things change in 8 years' time. Look at his cover. Look at the cover, and then remember when they put the orange cartoon on? When Time Magazine, yeah, they went after him and they put the orange cartoon on. And when you look at the magazine cover now, as opposed to how they had previously represented him, that's pretty amazing. All of that in just 8 years' time. He also made some remarks. This is audio soundbite 10. He was talking about the corporate tax rate, of which the United States has the highest. Listen to what he says here. This was interesting. New policy.
Well, I think I've always said, you know, to me, stock market is very, all of it, you know, all of it together. It's very important. It's an honor to be here at New York Stock Exchange. I sort of joked that I actually bought the building across the street because the stock exchange was here. It's a big deal.
40, it's a nice building.
40 Wall Street. So, look, we're going to do things, I think, that haven't been really done before. We're going to be cutting taxes still further. You know, we got it down to 21%. We're going to bring it down even below that. You pay 21 if you don't build here, and meaning your product or whatever it is you're building. And if you do, we're going to try getting it down to 15%. But you have to build your product, make your product in the USA.
Good for them. Got to make your product, build your product here in the US of A. Of course. And that's an interesting policy. So if you're not doing the bulk, I'm wondering what the tax rate is going to be lowered to. I mean, if you are not manufacturing in the United, or does it have to be 100% manufactured in the United States? Is there going to be, is there some kind of, I don't know, like a quota? Well, yeah, I'm just curious, if there's going to be like a quota, what is he going to have? I'm curious as to how that's going to work out. So I'm excited to hear about that, because our corporate tax rate is stupid. It is stupid high. I think we've talked about this before. It's super, super ridiculously high. And to lower the corporate tax rate, are we at 35? I was trying to remember. We're at the end of the week and everybody's drunk on eggnog. Let's be real. Half of you people are
currently
like...
Currently, the current corporate tax rate is 21%, according to this.
Okay, it's 20. So 21%. It's still too damn high. It's insane. When you consider that, like, China's rate, the commie country of China, their rate is lower than ours. That's insane. It's insane. That's absolutely insane. So he says, we're going to lower it. If you produce in the United States, we're going to cut it down to 15%. And at 35? I was thinking of like a tax. I was thinking of a tax cut.
I think that's what it was before. I think it was like 38%.
Hang on. I only have this partially finished in my notes. So hang on. Let me look at it. That's the sound Google makes. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. So he did, he did lower it. I thought Biden had raised it, though, afterwards. The reason that I ask this is because the EU was even looking at reducing after what Trump did. The EU was looking to, like, match what Trump did, to copy what he did. So this is good. I'm fascinated at seeing what else can be done. Because 15% rate, I mean, that would explode growth, I would think, right? I mean, from 21% to 15%, you would see, I mean, it's going to, government's going to have to tighten its belt a little bit, right? Government's going to have to practice a little bit of austerity. And that was the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. That's what reduced the corporate. So it was, you're right. That's what I was thinking, 35. It was previously 35. So under that in 2017, Trump lowered it to 21%, and he wants to lower it further. I think had he been elected for consecutively for another term, I think that we would have already seen it at 15%, because I remember covering some of his, I don't know if it was one of his, not inauguration speech, State of the Union addresses, where he had made mention of things that they had to do in order to continue lowering the corporate tax rate. Because I think there was some bureaucracy that they were eliminating and things like that. That was one thing I will say that he was super consistent on. I know a lot of people give him grief over guns, obviously, and some other things. But on the corporate tax rate, he actually was pretty consistent on it. I do wish that the entirety of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act had been made permanent, because it wasn't. Remember, there was part of it that was permanent and part of it sunset. And then that's when we all saw our taxes go back up. So I hope in addition to that, he makes that permanent too. So that's good news. That's really good news. We're going to talk more about that here as we roll throughout the program. So a lot of stuff to touch on. We're also going to get into some of the Caitlin Clark controversy. So she had responded to a lot of, player of the year. She got all these awards, all this recognition. A lot of controversy surrounding her. We're going to touch on that. We've got some cultural things as well to hit on. So a lot of things to touch on today as we get you set up, our partners. The non-firearm firearm, it's Byrna Gun. And Byrna is a great option if you're looking to diversify your self-defense array. And the reason I say this is because people always want to go, I'm always going to carry and I'm never going to go into any gun-free zone. And that's great for you. I have no problem carrying. I tell people to carry. I have literally no issue at all whatsoever with using lethal force to protect myself or the life of another. That being said, because, you know, we're all big grown people, sometimes we have to go to places that demand that you don't carry a firearm. And whether it's, you know, government property, whether it's private property, whether it's whatever it is, And you have to go there anyway. And so this is where the Byrna gun comes in. It's the Byrna SD is their best-selling self-defense option that they have. And it can shoot chemical irritant projectiles that can stop threats from up to 50 feet away. And it has five rounds. Standard stun guns have like one or two. So this has five rounds. It's legal in all 50 states. It doesn't give a rat's backside about gun-free zones. No background checks. And it can be shipped right to your door. I always think it's good to diversify what you have for self-defense. And so this is one option to consider. And you can get it at Byrna.com/Dana because it's the only place where you can get 10% off. Byrna, Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off of your Byrna gun.
This liberal attorney general thinks it's Amazon's fault. The AG of DC is going after Amazon because of delivery times in rough neighborhoods. Maybe if he would go after the crime, the deliveries would come quicker. Amazon's just protecting their employees. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, first up, the really? 846 million people are infected with the herp. Like the bad one. Like the genital herp. Why? Stop being whores. 846 million people. How is this a thing? They said it's a hidden epidemic sweeping the world. And it has no cure and it's socially traumatizing. Any more socially traumatizing than sleeping around and getting the herp? I'm just trying to figure that out. Why is this a thing? It's 2024. It's not like we don't know where germs and this stuff comes from, right? We know. What are you doing? Stop it. This is one of the craziest stories I think I've ever had in Quick Five. An 80-year-old grandmother is dead after she got trapped in her sleep number bed for 2 days. My first thought was, what the hell number did she have it on? Like, what is this? Illinois, she got trapped by her malfunctioning sleep number bed for 2 whole days. Rosalind Walker's mattress suddenly lowered itself without warning and it pinned her against her wall. And then she wasn't freed until 48 hours later. They rushed her to a nearby hospital. She was treated for unspecified injuries, transferred to a rehabilitation clinic, and later hospice care. She only lived for like three weeks later. That's one of the craziest things I've ever heard. Your sleep number bed. Man, that's kind of, I don't know. And now they're trying to say that there's a pet translator, a scientist, that converts growls and barks into English, and it could be available in just 10 years. So that way you can understand the women on the VO. Stay with us. Our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that exists, and they want to save you money. They have plans that can be tailor-made for any type of budget. And right now, they have their Every Friday Matters special. So for a limited time, Patriot Mobile is giving away a brand new smartphone when you switch your service. Great opportunity to get high quality service and support a company that aligns with your values. And you get to access all three major networks. So you get to experience the same reliable coverage as all of the big providers. But your money is not going against the things that you vote for at the ballot box. Seamless switching, 100% US-based customer service team. And you can save. It's never been simpler to switch. And you can get that free smartphone as part of the special offer. Keep your number if you want. Keep whatever. But you can get a free smartphone only though, by using promo code Friday. So it's their Every Friday Matters special. Take advantage of it because it's for a limited time or until supplies run out. Free smartphone offer eligible only with promo code Friday. Terms and conditions apply. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana972Patriot.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why do you think Democrats lost, and what do you think needs to happen by the midterms and the next presidential election in order to find your footing again?
Well, Kristen, no disrespect to you. I think you do great work. But the reality is that those that tune in to our traditional news sources, They absolutely went for us. And we know that the standards that you have to live by as an actual journalist are completely different from other platforms. And so we know that we were winning for those that were tuning into the traditional news sources. But when it came down to people getting their news from places that really aren't even news sources, they were going for Donald Trump by 19 points. And that is exactly why we lost. The reality is that we're going to have to play in spaces that we've never had to play and make sure that we're communicating in all ways. Unfortunately, we can't just rely on the mainstream media to get our message across.
Well, I think she's a little late to the game, because when have Democrats ever really totally relied on mainstream media to get their message across? I mean, who do you think controls Hollywood? Who controls Hollywood? Who controls academia? This idea that it's just the media that is responsible for this, or that people are getting their, they can't rely on the mainstream media. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. She's an example of a person who just thinks that politics began the day that she was made self-aware, which is probably a couple of years ago. Let's be real. Right? It's one of the dumbest things ever. That's really stupid analysis that like ignores everything that media, everything that the left has been involved in. Right? So it ignores the entire system and bureaucracy of academia. It ignores the music industry, Kane. It ignores Hollywood, arts and entertainment, film, art, all of it, fashion. So this idea that, well, you know, it's like we lost because we got to play in spaces we never had to play in before. What are you talking about? You mean you actually have to go and talk to the people? Notice that wasn't one of the things on her lips. You got to go and talk to the people? That's just stupid. She is not the brightest bulb in their box. She really isn't. I was listening to this and I thought, my gosh, they're going to keep losing because they have no idea why. They have no idea why they lost. That's just, and she says that, I guess what, you know, these places that they're not even news sources. And they're not even news sources. What defines a news source? If you get news from something, is that a source from which you got your news? Who defines news source? Because I know Democrats have been wanting to define news sources as, goodness, that which validates their narrative. They've been wanting to do that for a long time. So is that really, it's just wanting to control media. It's wanting to control where the information comes from. That's all it is. It's wanting to control how people share information, what they share, how often they share it, etc. I just thought that was a really dumb soundbite. Didn't we just have a soundbite from her the other day where she was going off on the Daniel Penny stuff? Yes. Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. Not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree, that one. Definitely not. Now, going on from that, as it pertains to media, etc. I wanted to touch on this because we missed it yesterday. Caitlin Clark, audio soundbite 22. She's doubled down. So Caitlin Clark came out and said that she felt like it was white privilege. She was saying that she somehow was the beneficiary of white privilege. And she doubled down on it in this soundbite. Listen. I think we have it. Okay.
I always have had really good perspective on everything that's kind of happened in my life, whether that's been good, whether that's been bad. And then obviously coming to the WNBA, like I've said, I feel like I've earned every single thing that's happened to me over the course of my career. But also, I grew up a fan of this league from a very young age. Like, my favorite player was Maya Moore. Like, I know what this league was about. And like I said, like, it's only been around 25 plus years. So I know there's been so many amazing black women that have been in this league, and continuing to uplift them, I think, is very important. And that's something I'm very aware of. And like I said, like, I try to just be real and authentic and, you know, share my truth. And I think that's very easy for me. Like, I'm very comfortable in my own skin. And that's kind of been how it is my entire life.
Yes. Mm. So she says that admits feeling privileged as a white person, and says that the WNBA was built on black players. No, it wasn't. The WNBA was the welfare recipient of the NBA. Nobody gave a rat's ass about women's basketball. Women don't even give a rat's ass about women's basketball. The WNBA was subsidized by the NBA. It is the welfare recipient of the NBA. NBA players and NBA viewers and NBA game attendees built the WNBA. Let's not pretend like these women who are in the WNBA built it. They can barely keep what was given to them. And then when they get someone who gets the eyeballs, they trash her and drag her down because they are a bunch of jealous bitches. That's the reality of it. And then they want to play victimhood and act as though everything's a racial hustle when it's not. She is one. What is her privilege exactly? And I know a lot of people are slamming her. And I just think that she is navigating something that no one has ever had to go through before. And that's part of what my point. How in the hell does she have white privilege when she is like one of, she's a minority player in the WNBA? How in the hell does she have white privilege? They have been racist bitches to her since she got there. They have targeted her. They have smeared her. They have acted like she is less than. And to her credit, she's ignored it up until now. I mean, she's ignored it up until, you know, this point. So I don't know how she's considered privileged. She works hard and she has talent, but how is that a privilege? She works hard with her talent. I mean, this is, it's goofy. She gets athlete of the year and then she has to apologize. I feel as though she's, because she had said, quote, "I want to say that I've earned every single thing, but as a white person, there is a privilege." I disagree with this. And she says, she said, "A lot of those players in the league that have been really good have been black players. This league has kind of been built on them, blah, 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 blah." Again, someone who is one of, she's a minority player in the WNBA on her team. And she has to admit to some kind of privilege. They can't just credit her talent. Like Time Magazine, they said Clark is cognizant of the racial underpinnings of her stardom. She says, I want to say the quote that I gave you, but the fact that she says that, oh yes, the racial underpinnings, Time Magazine and writing about her, the racial underpinnings of her stardom, the racial underpinnings of the WNBA, nobody watches it. She's, I don't know, she just is like a beaten dog. But at the same time, she's never had to navigate. Nobody's ever had to navigate anything like this in the WNBA or anything like this. A female. Nobody's. This is kind of new. It's very new. But she's allowing herself to be bullied at this point. And there are players of a different race that did not generate the eyeballs that she generated. They did not generate the interest for the league that she generated. And they feel like they're trying to other her. They're trying to say that the only reason that she's talented is because of some sort of privilege. Being white doesn't make her play better. Practicing hard and working hard does. And she has a natural born talent that is entirely unrelated to her skin color. She just happens to be a white girl. But no one can credit her talent because no one wants to admit that she just might be a better player than Angel Reese, or she just might be a better player than some of the other women in on the teams in WNBA. They can't say that. So they have to discredit her talent by saying, oh, well, white privilege. The hell does white privilege have to do with being naturally talented at basketball? I suck at basketball. Love basketball. Love watching it. Love watching it. And I always wanted to play it. But I'm not very good, Kane. No. Where's my white privilege? I was told that I would have privilege. Look, as badly as I wanted to be on my school's basketball team, and I never made it, I was varsity everything I did but basketball for some reason. I have no idea why. It doesn't make sense. I did 18 years of classical ballet, and then I was varsity everything I did from freshman on. Basketball could not do it. No idea why. Where's my white privilege for that? Right? I wanted it. Isn't that how it works? If you're white and you want it, don't you automatically get it? Kane, how does white privilege work? Isn't that how it works? You're yeah, only, you're white adjacent though, 50%. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. I get a 50% card.
Yeah.
50% privilege.
But the other 50% of you, what privileges have you gotten?
Gosh, I don't know.
You haven't gotten any privileges?
Not that I know of.
But wait a minute, I'm told that if you're white, you get all these special things.
Yeah, I don't. They only see the non-white half of me, apparently.
Does it? Did you? You played football, right?
Yeah.
Were you a better football player because you were white, half white?
No, I don't.
It didn't give you any kind of like special superpower.
No.
I mean, I always thought that you played worse. Remember the Woody Harrelson movie, White Men Can't Jump? That was huge when I was a kid. And I remember looking at that title thinking, I wonder if they can't. Yeah. Hollywood. Just saying.
It's true.
Do you feel bad for her? Caitlin Clark?
Do I feel bad for what she's had to go through and all of that?
Do you feel like she's like been browbeaten into this?
I think so. She literally just wants to play basketball. She just wants to get along with everybody. She just wants to have fun. And everyone else is thrusting her in these directions and making her do these things. It just doesn't seem, just like anybody who doesn't do anything that comes naturally to them, it doesn't look right and it doesn't feel right.
Lorraine says that she feels like she's saying this to make the other girls on the team feel better.
Probably, because she wants to get along with them. She wants
How
to
lame
have...
are the chicks in this league?
Well, what
if
was the
you, if you have to have this woman like lie prostrate in front of the media to make you feel better, I'm going to say something mean. Should I say? I've already said it once, but these women are. They are.
I read lips. I didn't know I was a lip reader till just now.
It's that white privilege. You would have been able to hear the voice in your head had you been full. I'm just saying. That's how it works, right? Lorraine says that she's always lifted up her teammates, always been very humble. She always seems like she's tried to ignore this. But that sort of, notice, and this is how it is, and it doesn't matter if it's Caitlin Clark or whoever. This is why I'm like, never been in need of the rage mob. Because they don't care. She's never going to be forgiven. She is their original sin of being born white. I mean, that's how all of her critics and all these people around WNBA are acting like. Maybe if you bitches could play basketball a little bit better, then maybe she wouldn't be getting all the attention. Maybe if y'all were half as talented as she was, then maybe, oh, I don't know, maybe you would get more advertising dollars. Maybe you would get more sponsorships yourself. Instead of hating on her, all you women need to be thanking her for keeping eyes on the WNBA, which has been nothing more than a glorified welfare recipient of the NBA. And you all know it's true, bitches. You know it's true. Yeah. I'm so tired of this stuff. They're a bunch of bullies, grown middle-aged women being bullies, women who are in their 30s being bullies. At some point, you need to grow up. You do. People are going to be like, Dana, I don't like your language. I am not Dora the Explorer, okay? You're not sitting in church, and this ain't PBS. I do feel bad for her because she's never had to navigate this. And I think that people who are trying to jump all over her need to slow their roll a little bit. I mean, I think the people who need most of the ire are the coaches and the league and her teammates. Those are the people that you need to be sharp with. Because I think she's just trying to navigate and deal with it. And she didn't come out and she seemed very hesitant when she was saying the stuff that she said. But if she thinks, though, that this kind of thing is going to make it to where they accept her and they celebrate her and they stop giving her grief, no. In fact, it's going to double. Because if they see you bleed, then they're going to come for more. That's how it works. Life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their 3-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. relieffactor.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
So I hope that you all feel that sense of, you know, peace and light, and that just for a moment when you leave here today that you feel, I don't know, a sense of joy. Because I think we all need like this, you know, we all need to feel joy now during this time of the season, during this time. So anyway, okay, now I'll start. You're all reading into that.
So they were saying, oh, you sound like Kamala. And she's like, you all are reading into it. She sounded exasperated there. I was on with Jesse Waters earlier this week, and he asked me, it was kind of an aside, but he had brought up how Joe isn't like really looking at Kamala when they go and they do these events. Like, he's not looking at her, and they don't have any kind of interaction, anything like that. And he had said, how did he ask me? Something to the effect of, well, is it overblown because, you know, Joe is old? And I said, well, no, because look at Jill. So their dynamic is, especially right now, and it used to not always be like this, when they were first married, and even during, I mean, 10 years ago, he was really aggressive and a jackwagon. And now she's the aggressive one because he's, you know, declining. And so she sets the tone. So you can watch them. Their dynamic is she sets the tone. And if you want to know where they stand on someone, watch how she acts. She's the wife. And if the wife doesn't like someone, if they don't like anybody, you're going to know. You're going to know. And she makes it known. How many different videos have there been? I've seen at least 5. Two of them were at the same event. But where Kamala Harris was like looking at her and smiling, and Jill Biden just does not even acknowledge her. After he's out of office, after Trump is in office, I think you're going to hear about some stuff. And I think it's going to get real petty. I really do. Stick with us. We have a whole other hour on the way next. ReadyWise is always ready with premium survival food. And you know the chain of command for your food. Start to finish, you know that it is U.S. ingredients packed in a state-of-the-art U.S. plant, sent out from that state-of-the-art U.S. plant to your front porch. And you get free and fast shipping on most orders, ensuring that your provisions reach you promptly. They have an array of product choices to meet every budget. They have their 1 month supply 2 bucket bundle. They have their three month emergency food supply as well. Everything is designed by their team of in-house culinary experts to make sure that you get your calories, the needs that you have for calories met, your protein, your carbs, your healthy carbs, all that good stuff. Comfort in a crisis and beyond. Super affordable, premium survival food, 25-year shelf life. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off of your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We are at the top of the second hour here, and it's Thursday. We're almost done through the week. It's the week before Christmas. You guys are like, wait, what? Yeah, I know. It's going by fast, isn't it? Like, how is it already December 12th? This is just like way too fast, way too fast. All right. So a number of things we've been covering. And by the way, you can also look follow us. If you're not, you know, listening terrestrially, channel 347 DirecTV. And we're also over at Rumble, where the chat happens, and X and YouTube, less so, all that good stuff. So the president rang the bell this morning, Wall Street. He's named Time's Man of the Year, Time Magazine's Man of the Year. He's invited to ring the bell at New York Stock Exchange. He's only the second president to ever do so.
Yeah, Reagan was the other one.
Mm-hmm. Notice how they're all Republicans that get to.
That's weird.
Interesting that, isn't it? Only the Republicans, probably because they understand the economy. He's the first since Reagan to ring the opening bell. And the crowd was yelling at his family with him. He was flanked by the covers. It's a nice cover. The perspective is a little interesting, but it's a nice cover. I mean, it's like at a downward kind of angle, and I'm curious as to how he was sitting or what he was sitting on. But they, what do you think the cover says? Is the cover a backhand compliment, do you think? Because it's, when you consider the first one that they put him on, where it was just the, like an emoji of his head and yeah. it looked like it was melting. Cartoon. That wasn't very flattering. This is a lot more sober. This is like the magazine cover that seems like final acceptance of the inevitable, right?
Right.
That's what I get out of it. It's not bad. Do you think? I don't think that they make him look old. They have him like a cold filter on him because he is. They took some of the hue out of his face and his hair. His hair is way more like is way brighter than that. But it seems like a their cover seems like a like they're fine like accepting the inevitable, the inevitableness of all of this.
Like they can't deny.
Yeah.
The last year.
Right. So they're like, okay, here it is. What's funny, when Joe Biden was elected, he said that they were going to return to normality. There's the cover Juan showing you right there. It's not a bad cover. It's a weird perspective, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
But what is that? I'm just I don't want to unpack it too much, but I do think it's interesting. It's almost like you're peering up at him, right? That's the perspective of the photographer. You're peering up at him from a lower position, but he's not like lording it over you. It's very odd. I almost don't know what to make of it. I don't think it's, Steve, what do you think? Do you think it's like a backhanded compliment? I'm going to get one more opinion on this. It's weird. I don't know how to read it.
I mean, if you're reflecting from the same publication that had that cover years ago of that like really dystopian melting face, like that's obviously a twist, but I think they kind of had to admit that that's the case. I mean, there was a lot of people up for it that they could have picked on the right or on the left, excuse me, and they didn't.
True. Yeah, they could have. I mean, can you imagine if they tried picking Kamala? That would have been a joke. But I also think that they realize that he sells magazine covers, I think. And so putting him on that, I don't think that it is a smear. And the reason I'm bringing this up is a couple of you emailed me this morning asking if I thought that it was an insulting, if I thought it was an insulting cover. And I don't think that it is an insulting cover. I just think that it's, I don't know, it's very weird, right?
I think it's just the inevitable. They realize what happened in the past year. They can't ignore it. There is no ignoring it. You can't rewrite what happened this past year. And that, like we were talking about that perspective of the photographer, you are kind of, as Time Magazine or even as the public, you kind of look up to a guy that has gone through what Trump has gone through over these past 8 years. And I think it's, I don't look at it as a backhanded compliment or, you know what I mean? Anything.
The only reason I think that it's, I'm sorry if I'm boring you guys because I'm obsessing over it. But what the reason I bring it up is because it's so desaturated. So is the desaturation, because, and I'm not saying this is to be mean, he's oranger than this guy, come on. The dude has like super Scottish red hair. It's like, except it's not really blonde, it's definitely got red tint in it. And he's one of those people that when their hair, he doesn't really gray, it turns blonde. I had a grandmother who was as Irish as the day is long, that's where it comes from. And she had hair like Ronald McDonald. And she didn't go gray. It went blonde. It was real weird. He's got like the same thing. So it's just super desaturated. He doesn't look defeated. He looks reflective. And I don't know. There's a lot to get into with this cover. And why I'm focusing on it so much is I'm trying to read the tea leaves as to what his presidential term, the start of it's going to be like. And every politics has been upended since 2014, really. It really started getting upended in 2014, 2015, and then when he won, and no one expected him to win, and then in 2020 when it was so close. No one knows what to expect. Every term has the only thing that's been predictable has been Biden. And even then, how bad he was not as predictable. We all knew he was going to be bad, but we didn't know it was going to be as bad as, you know, I mean, my gosh, the joblessness, the inflation, the instability, the lack of, you know, I mean, any kind of focus on any kind of domestic issue, particularly manufacturing, all of that stuff. But this is, it almost seems like it's a relief because the left, I think, is relieved because they don't have to be yoked with Biden anymore. They don't have to make excuses for him. They don't have to apologize for him. They don't have to send surrogates out to clean up his messes. So I almost feel like they act like they have a reprieve. And in some respects, they're sort of grateful for it because they don't have anything else that they can use to stop the bleeding, so to speak, any other candidate of Biden. They don't have anyone ready to step up. They don't have anyone who can actually do the job. That's why they ran Kamala. And I honestly do think that they felt like they were going to lose. But they ran Kamala Harris because they had to run someone. And they had no one else to run. And she's shallow and vapid enough to think that that was a compliment to her. And that they actually believed in her ability to run when they didn't. They were just, they needed a sacrifice. They knew that they were going to be feeding someone into the meat grinder and that person had no hope of a political career after. And so they gladly sacrificed her. The irony of ironies, Democrats, you had people like James Clyburn who were demanding that they run a black woman when Democrats in reality knew that this was going to be the sacrificial candidate that had no hope and that it was going to be such a destructive presidential cycle that whoever it was, they were never going to have any hope of a political career after. And so they just ran her. How unbelievably fitting that they actually fed their own DEI, policies to the meat grinder in this fashion. I've never seen such a cell phone in my ever loving life. It is truly stunning how unbelievably ironic this all is. Really, it's truly stunning. So they were demanding, oh, we want our black female candidate, and then turn around and they're like, okay, we'll let you have her. And they destroyed her. You're not even going to see her at the inauguration, I doubt. Which brings me back to this cover. To me, it spells relief. When you look at it, do you feel like they're exhaling? That's what I get out of it. It feels like they're exhaling. So what does this mean with the media covering him going into January? It's tricky. Think of how many newspapers endorsed him over Kamala or didn't make an endorsement. Like WAPO, right? They didn't make an endorsement. And they weren't the only ones to not make an endorsement. So think of this. The media coverage when he assumes office, I think they're actually going to be kind. I'm not saying this because I'm hopeful. I'm not. I have no hope. I am Diogenes. I feel like they realize the economy is a mess, the border is a mess, and they're going to be supportive on those issues. And they realize they can't really do anything to him because he only has 4 years and he's termed out. I think that their ire, they're already retiring him with this magazine cover. Their ire is going to be turned towards everybody else. The bench. And this is one of the things that the media has been really bad at. So they don't know how to deconstruct the coalition that Republicans have built. And they have not really hardcore attacked the Republican bench yet. I think this magazine covers them kind of like retiring him and they're reconciled to the idea that he's the president and they kind of feel relief because of Biden. But also, they're going to go after everybody underneath him twice as hard. Because as soon as they stop being sad over losing, they're going to be vengeful. And that's when I think you're going to see it. Thoughts, Kane? I think that's how it's going to go. I think that it's going to be knives out like you've never seen.
Oh, sure.
For Republican governors, leading Republican senators, leading Republicans in Congress. I think you're going to see a double coverage on them.
Yeah.
That's what my opinion.
Yeah.
And just like when you put salt on a slug and it writhes and seethes and screams, like that's exactly what we're going to be seeing because it's not going to be easy to drain the swamp.
Yeah, I think so. And then when he starts going after deep state, interesting. That cover, I was staring at that cover and I'm like, this is such an interesting cover because it's such a departure from the stuff that they usually do, right? It's such a departure. So, and interesting stuff. And their article, if you've read it, it's not, it's like they're trying not to be flattering, but it's just a fascinating thing. I think that they're actually, they don't want to admit that they like him. That's what I'm walking away with. They are happy to have somebody who understands business and they want to like him, but they know that they're on the left's team, so they can't like him. The whole article read like they kept having to walk it back. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that was my take. And it just fascinated me. I just thought, this is so interesting. I'm going to have to talk about this with the radio folks tomorrow. All right. So coming up, we have all of the latest that Luigi Mangione, he's like the next Joker. He's like the Joker. That's like the treatment he's getting, isn't it? Like, apparently his inmates were yelling about his terrible conditions from jail. We're going to get into that. We're also going to get into those pardons, by the way, that Joe Biden has been issuing. Well, Lorraine caught the story from Financial Times that apparently some of them were Chinese nationals, including a pedophile. And it was a prisoner swap kind of thing. If you're looking for a convenient, affordable way to access medications and treatments you can trust, All Family Pharmacy has you covered. Whether it's the flu or parasites, cancer support, or general well-being, All Family Pharmacy's online service makes getting the medications you need hassle-free. With All Family, it's simple. You can choose the individual medications that best suit your needs or opt for one of their comprehensive treatment packages designed to give you everything that you need in one convenient order. And every order comes with a doctor's prescription included. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, or any other effective medications, they have it all. And you can get fast shipping with most orders shipping in 2 to 3 business days. Medications start as low as $3 per capsule, making it really easy to take charge of your health without breaking the bank. No insurance needed. You can skip the paperwork and get the treatments you need directly. Stock up with their emergency preparedness bundles and access over 200 medications online anytime. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use code Dana10 for 10% off of your entire order. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, code Dana10.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So puberty blockers are set to be banned indefinitely for under 18s across the UK. The health secretary says the emergency measures banning the sale and supply are going to be made indefinite. And that's good. That's very good news, because we can't be abusing this stuff and then chemically castrating people over that. It's just insanity. So this is a huge news. This, let's see, out of control welfare has stunted economic growth. That's an actual headline from a newspaper. Who would have thought? Like, I'm so shocked. What? Yeah. Welfare and regulation. They're saying that economic orthodoxies are tumbling. People are realizing that those policies don't work. But are they actually going to implement them? I mean, that's like the big thing. You got actually going to put them into practice. Coffee prices are surging to the highest on record. This is the Arabian beans. They said that the have accounted for most of the global production, and their prices have jumped 80% this year, and that they're not the only place. They're saying that coffee brands are considering putting prices up in the new year also. Everything's been super expensive, but coffee roasters have been able to absorb a lot of those prices, places like Black Rifle Coffee and that. And they said that some companies like Nestle, they've taken the hit from higher raw material prices to themselves. But they said all of that's kind of at a tipping point right now, because the expense is still, I mean, it's still super expensive. And a lot of it's due to drought and then a heavy rain. So I know both of those things are factoring into the expense on all of it. Floyd Mayweather was attacked by a mob in a row over Israel and Gaza while he was jewelry shopping in London. This is why would you pick a fight with Floyd Mayweather, you stupid idiots? So apparently he got into an altercation at Hatton Garden, and he was out shopping for jewelry. And I mean, it was doing some window shopping, and a ton of people were in the street. A mob descended on him And he was apparent. I mean, he looked angry. He and his security were in the Capitol. They said that he was confronted. They bundled him out of a jewelry store into a waiting 4x4. And they said that he wasn't touched during it at any point, but the crowd was using racial slurs towards him. These are like pro-Gazan people using racial slurs towards him. And he said he was fine. There was nothing more to it. He was there for 48 hours and he did some quick shopping and that was it. That's so crazy. So coming up, we've got some cultural stuff to talk about, including conservatism. Our partners that help bring you the program. It's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee, the only coffee worth drinking because everything else is commie swill. Black Rifle Coffee has a new roast, their Freedom Roast. It's what the founders would have drank. They would have drank it, totally. Had Black Rifle Coffee been around then. Veteran-owned company. They employ veterans, active duty. And their Freedom Roast, so smooth and full of flavor. And you can save 20% using code Dana. And while you're there, subscribe to the Black Rifle Coffee Club. You get free shipping, automated orders right to your doorstep of your favorite brew. So you never have to ever go out of a morning, all like stressed out and caffeine free because you ran out of coffee. You never have to do that. Always convenient. And you don't have to just get the Freedom Roast. You can also check out the Silencer Smooth, the Just Black. They have many, many, many different types of roasts. And if you're good on, you know, your coffee, which they have whole bean K-cups and ready to drink, ground as well, then you can get apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. Perfect Christmas present also helps everything you to get everything you need for the perfect brew. So the Freedom Roast, Black Rifle Coffee, taste the other top shelf roast as well. Whatever you decide, though, you get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of the second hour. And of course, you can watch us coast to coast. You can listen terrestrially. You can check us out, Channel 347 DirecTV. Also on X, Rumble, where the chat happens. YouTube, not so much. So we're everywhere. We're all over the place. Every state. So one of the things we were talking about, was this first hour? No, first segment of this hour, right? Yeah. Earlier was this Time Magazine cover of POTUS Elect. And how it seemed to be to me this reluctant sort of acceptance of the inevitable, that because it was a oddly somewhat respectable cover that they gave to a Republican. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, don't get excited, though. Everybody wants it. Don't get excited about that because it's the trash media. I mean, they're a bunch of jackwagons. It's the trash media. And I was thinking about this in context of right media, left media, how we got to this point. And I read this really good piece the other day from a friend of mine, Mark Judge. We're going to have him on in a minute. But it's called The Coming Conservative Media Collapse. And I thought, ooh, that's a very intentionally provocative title. Let's dive into this. And he's right. He gets into the conservative media structure, which definitely now has a formula, and how they've got to find something else to kind of to focus on. They need to get back to art and culture and all of these other issues because people are tired of politics. I mean, even all of you out there in radio land, one of the things that we know when we go and survey all of our hundreds of affiliates across the country, people get tired of it. They get tired of politics. So you got to shift. But that is not that's not the incentive on which conservative media is built on. Not right now, not anymore. So what are we going to do? My friend Mark Judge joins me, and he is an author and also became famous during the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearing. I almost said trial because it was like a trial where they were trying to assassinate him in the court of public opinion. And they dragged all of Brett Kavanaugh's friends in it. Every friend that the man ever had, they dragged through the mud, including Mark Judge, who joins me now on Skype. Mark, it's so good to be with you. There's a couple of things that I want to talk with you about, but starting with this, you are, I think, spot on with your observance of the new conservative media structure. And I would even go so far as to say there's even less investigative work because we're so used to playing defensively that I think we forgot how to do almost anything else. I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you remember when we were younger in like the 1980s, Dana, there was a whole infrastructure in a community that used to support and bolster and hold up up-and-coming artists in bands, in the fine arts and movies, you know, Martin Scorsese.
Oh, yeah.
There were little rock clubs like the 930 Club in D.C. where I lived, where you go to see bands like R.E.M. who are up and coming. And the point is there was support for these artists. And even though they were on a smaller scale back then, and I don't think conservatism has made similar investments. And post-election, we find ourselves with people sick of politics and saying, hey, I think I'm going to go see a movie. Who are the cool new bands now? I think I'll go to a jazz club. And that ecosystem is still largely controlled by the left. And I can give specific examples of projects that, if funded for a small amount, would really get a lot of bang. But we just haven't worked that muscle. And I should add, you know, I'm not really blaming too much because conservatives were defending against communism and socialism and wokeness. So that was a full-time job. But we really need to start putting our money in culture more, because I think, as Andrew Breitbart knew, that has a much longer term effect.
Oh, I completely agree. And that's one of the things that the right has always been kind of bad at. They do tons of white papers and think tanks and all this other stuff. Nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about those things anymore. It shifts. I wanted to just share this graph that you, this paragraph that you wrote in your piece that's over at Chronicles Magazine. You wrote, yet what to do when the dog catches the car? Because you're talking about all of the conservative outlets that have covered all of this stuff. And this was good effort, and it was for a good mission. You write, yet what to do when the dog catches the car? The second era of Trump has ushered in new times. As actress and fellow Gen Xer Justine Bateman has noted, it's like a fog has lifted. Artists feel a sense of freedom that's escaped them for years. You noted a few years ago, the music critic for Washington Post, Chris Richards, announced that white bands should not cover songs by black artists. That sentiment now seems preposterous. It's like some of the rebel spirit of the 80s is back, something I think Bateman was sensing too. People are turning away from the screaming matches and back to culture. Even someone as conservative and interested in politics as I am can't watch any more shouting pundits on TV. It's over. So what's next?
Well, I'll give you a very specific example. After the Kavanaugh nightmare, I wrote a book called The Devil's Triangle. You graciously gave me a blurb. I was radioactive at that time, and you said you'd give me a blurb, so I appreciate you so much for that. And as egocentric as it might sound, let me just quickly say, this is a tremendous book about this nightmare I lived.
It's a great book.
And right after all this happened, I got contacted by a Hollywood actor, a well-known actor, I will not say his name, and he said, well, how many offers have there been to turn this into a film? And I said, none. And he literally went, oh. And he said, you know, here we have a psychological thriller. This is not a black and white conservative come to Jesus story. It's a story about a flawed protagonist who comes up against the American Stasi, and there is evil. And he said, this is all the president's men, or the parallax view with the little Caddyshack thrown in. And he said, had you lied about your friend and thrown him under the bus, there wouldn't be one movie made about you. There'd be three.
Yeah.
And so for the past 6 months, we've produced a treatment. We have a treatment of a film based on this book. And again, I don't mean to sound like it's about me, because it's not. It's about the other people involved. And we have people in Hollywood reading this thing saying, okay, the election's over. This could be a great film, not a satirical film, not a very broad Christian film, although I'm a Christian. I love those kind of films. This could be a Taxi Driver, or, you know, a film like that. And the actor said to me, $10 million, two nights on Netflix. He's been in movies with Johnny Depp. He knows what he's talking about. So we're sitting here thinking, okay, the election's over. This treatment is floating around Hollywood. The budget is loose change for Netflix, and it's a great story. Why won't someone make this movie? And I think I'm one of many, many people with similar stories.
Do you think it's because Hollywood is terrified? They don't know. I think for two reasons, they're worried about the backlash from the far left. That's sort of their base. But also, they are so unfamiliar with not just so much conservatism, but that individualist like ethos that they don't even know how to approach the material.
They don't. And I'll quickly tell you, they're terrified of the material, because since my book came out, I've written several articles about this in Chronicles and the Washington Examiner and elsewhere. Dana, Marty Baron, former editor of the Washington Post, wrote a memoir talking about me. NPR interviewed Christine Blasey Ford on air and reviewed her book. And I'm on social media calling these cowards out and saying, why won't you give me equal time? What, you're a journalist who edited the Washington Post for 20 years. You talk about me in your book. I point to the mistakes you made, and you're too much of a coward to respond to me. So my point being is that if they're afraid, then Hollywood's really going to be afraid, because they don't want to open this thing and say, oh, Christine Blasey Ford and these other people were extorting Mark Judge, using honey traps and witness tampering, and he reveals all this in his book, The Devil's Triangle. There ain't no way we can make a movie about that. There's no way. And even if I said, you know, be sympathetic to people. I don't want to villainize anybody other than the politicians and the media. The kids I went to school with in the 80s, I don't want them demonized. But they are too chicken-ass to face me on social media, much less in Hollywood. They're cowards. That's what it is.
Yeah, I completely. We're talking with our friend Mark Judge, author of Devil's Triangle. And also he was dragged through the mud and unwillingly made infamous during the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. You, in this piece, and I'm going to switch to the Hegseth stuff here in a moment, but I think you just really hit the nail on the head in a very classy way, because you say that conservatives are still badly outgunned by the left. I get the sense, and I was talking with a friend of mine who is like an associate editor at one of these conservative websites, and they were saying, oh no, conservatives are really doing well, you know, with X and now Elon Musk at X, and you know, we're really balancing it all out. And I'm like, in what way? Like, maybe in the news, but where in the culture are you balancing it out? And you touch on that. You said that the donor class never had any desire to put resources to work so we could compete in that manner. And that you said that, you know, it's not just, you know, being snarky Twitter gorillas and all of this stuff and focusing on stuff that Alec Baldwin says, but to penetrate the entertainment industry with deeper and more in-depth coverage and to create our own stuff. Is there anyone out there beside yourself that you think is really that needs, you know, attention, or that you could point to and say like this or like this or like this? I feel like we have so few.
100%. A friend of mine named Paul Rowland, he is a writer for a conservative website. This is a perfect example. He made a movie called Exemplum. It's a black and white film about a priest who breaks bad. It's like Breaking Bad with a priest. And I'm Catholic. It's an awesome movie. I came across this thing last year. It's a great movie. Dana, the budget was $10,000.
How does this movie get made for $10,000? That's crazy.
It's called Exemplum. You can watch it for free. And this is a perfect example. And I contacted this guy and I said, and he writes for a conservative website. He's Catholic. Yeah. I said, why aren't conservatives propping you up and throwing money at you, dude? You wrote, produced, directed, and acted in this great movie. And he said, Mark, I'm getting nothing. So I wrote about him. I interviewed him several times. I reviewed his movie, and my review was out there on social media and everything. And to this day, he and I talk, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I keep saying, why aren't people throwing money at you, dude? You made this, you know, it cost $10,000 and his rating is 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
This guy is a gifted, young, conservative-leaning filmmaker who made this great film about a priest and morality and Solzhenitsyn and all this cool stuff, and he can't get arrested. So go to Exemplum and look him up. I don't have any stake in his movie, but he is the example I use.
You also have a piece talking with our friend Mark Judge over at Splice today. Pete Hegseth will be confirmed. This is a really great piece. And you get into what you think changed Joni Ernst's mind. Because I do disagree with some of the narrative out there that she was leading this campaign against him, but she definitely was not on board. She was very hesitant, I think, even to kind of like delve into it publicly. Tell me about this, because you have a theory.
I have a theory. It's just a hunch. I'm a good journalist, so I don't want to speculate too much. But Joni Ernst changed on a dime. She abruptly began to support Pete Hegseth. And long story short, I think Pete Hegseth, like myself during Kavanaugh, was getting extorted. And he might have been getting honey trapped, and he might have been getting threatened. And I think Joni Ernst found that out. I think she had a meeting with him and the FBI, because our situations are very similar. It's like I had people accusing me of drugging girls and gang rape, and I was getting served for crimes in states I've never been in. It was an absolute nightmare. And as I reveal in The Devil's Triangle, the whole thing was an extortionate plot. Now, Hegseth's alleged incident happened in 2017, which is right around the Kavanaugh thing. Mm-hmm. And my speculation is a survivor of sexual abuse like Joni Ernst, who's a tough, independent, strong woman, doesn't change on a dime because Trump threatened her. She's far too strong for that. That's like telling you what to do, Dan. It does not work. And so I'm thinking, well, what if she had a private meeting with Hegseth? Hegseth, who is saying, I look forward to the FBI investigation. I'm looking forward to that. What if she found out that he was being extorted? That would explain quite a lot, right? Because a sexual assault survivor doesn't just go, oh, they're calling me names. I'm going to support him now.
Right.
BS. I'm convinced she heard something. I'm convinced somebody said to her, hey, look, this was a scam. 2017, Mark Judge was getting honey trapped and getting extortionate calls. Is it possible they were doing it to him also? Yes, I think it is.
I think he will ultimately, depending on if this process goes through, because there's been so much palace intrigue. I think most of these individuals are going to be confirmed in the Senate. We got to have you back to talk more about it. We're running out of time right now, but our friend Mark Judge, and you can follow him on X at Mark G Judge as well. Get his book, Devil's Triangle, and you can go and read his pieces as well. It's all linked up on, we'll have it linked as well. Mark, it's so good to see you. We got to have you back again.
Danny, you gave me the blurb when I was radioactive, man. I love you. I will never forget that. So
you know what? I think the country owes you a lot of gratitude because you held strong and showed what it was like to be resolute in the fire. So you really gave a good example to a lot of people for them to follow. So I appreciate
it. It's an American Stasi, and they can get bent for all I care.
Gosh, it's the most Gen X thing so far that's been said today. God love you. Merry Christmas to you, my friend. Thank you. Good
Merry
to see
Christmas.
You.
Merry Christmas. Thanks, Dana.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida man has threatened to light a homeowner's car on fire with a Molotov cocktail, said police in Cape Coral. A man was arrested over the weekend. Police said that he pulled out again with the swords. He pulled out a sword. Okay, stop, stop, stop. Full stop. Is that a thing in Florida? Every month, I have 2 to 3 stories. They're brand new, different from each other, different parts of Florida, where someone has a sword or a machete. Floridians, what is up? Do you all just like have swords? Is that a thing? What in the world? So this guy had a sword and a Molotov cocktail, and he wanted to make a point during an argument with a Cape Coral resident. Cape Coral police said that they got reports of a disturbance at the victim's home. They met with the homeowner, a 36-year-old man. He showed up in a driveway holding a glass bottle with a cloth wrapped around the top. He threatened to throw it, which he claimed was a Molotov cocktail, at one of the vehicles in the driveway and lighted on fire. He also had a sword, and he used the sword to tap on the windshield of a vehicle during the exchange. It was all captured on video by Ring doorbell, the camera. And the police located the guy. They asked him. He said, no, I went to go ask about the disrespect to a family member. And then he was arrested, taken to Lee County Jail, charged with violating the law that they have about manufacturing firebombs. Okay, there you go. But the sword, though. And they, was it actually a Molotov cocktail? They never really said. They never really confirmed that it was. But, you know, let's see. This Florida man, yeah, let's go ahead and do this. So, apparently, I don't think this guy was supposed to be gator hunting, and he was. And it was a company that showed the that this guy and his friends, they went down to hunt some gators. And but the guy's wife apparently did not know. And there's videos, but you can't, there's a lot of cussing in them. But, the guy apparently was, his wife didn't know that they were all having a little boys trip and they were all drinking and hunting gators, and then a gator bit his hand. So he's probably going to have to come up with a story as to how to tell his wife. It was done by Salty Adventures, and this Isaiah Triolo and his friends, they were hunting gators, and then he got his hand bit, and apparently he told his wife he was worried more about his wife finding out. And he had said in the video, don't wake Katie up, whatever you guys do. He didn't bite that hard. It's like trying to hide it because he didn't want his wife to know he was out drinking and gator hunting. Why? She probably would want to come. Stay with us. Third hour next.
We have not been able to, and neither have state or local law enforcement authorities, corroborate any of the reported visual sightings. To the contrary, upon review of available imagery, it appears that many of the reported sightings are actually manned aircraft that are being operated lawfully. The United States Coast Guard is providing support to the state of New Jersey and has confirmed that there is no evidence of any foreign-based involvement from coastal vessels. And importantly, there are no reported or confirmed drone sightings in any restricted airspace.
So you're telling me there are drones? That's what I heard. All I heard is that there are drones out there and they're going to come get us.
Yeah.
That's all I heard. From the Iranian mothership. They're going to, that's all I heard from John Kirby. You heard him say it, right?
Yeah.
That's what I heard. Because see, whatever they tell you, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of that. Whatever they're telling you. No, no, no. This is the Inflation Reduction Act. You're going to pay out your butt. This is the Inflation Reduction Act. That's what it does. It's going to actually increase inflation. You're all going to be homeless and eating cat food in the desert. That's what that is. See? So, yeah. It's, you got to listen between the lines. So when he's going, there's no evidence of foreign-based involvement. It's totally the Iranians. It's no evidence at all whatsoever. There's tons of evidence. There's none. It's not drones. They're totally drones. It's just lawfully manned aircraft. They're law-armed drones. That's what I'm hearing whenever he talks, right?
Yeah.
I feel like he goes, he said that they are unable to corroborate any of the reports. Why are they mysterious drone sightings? They're not mysterious in that we see them.
Right.
They're there. There they are. What are you doing about it, right? But can I also just put the balls of the guy who came out and was off? So let me tell you what, everybody. It's drones, and it's from Iran. They got a mothership off the coast of Jersey. They're coming for you, right? Right. The giant beans of that guy just coming right out and saying it
right.
to Harris Faulkner. On like the late morning Fox show.
Let me ask you this. Who do you believe more? John Kirby, who we just heard?
No, I'm not going to believe him.
Or the guy that was talking to Harris Faulkner yesterday?
Vandrew, yeah, him. Yeah. I believe that dude.
Yeah, I think so too.
By the way, welcome back. Top of the third hour. Dana Lash with you. When John Kirby talks, I don't believe him. And at all. I don't even know if I believe his breathing. That's how little I trust. I mean, he might be an alien in a John Kirby suit. I don't know. I feel like he is wearing the tie that he wore today. What is that tie? It's like weird, a weird fat tie that's green and then like gray and blue. It's just weird. Don't do it again. Don't do that. So I immediately, and there was, apparently they didn't have any follow-up questions after he said that. There were no follow-up questions.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Bang up job, media.
Yeah. I was more interested in the sign language lady than I was him. Because they always look like they're dancing. She was really excited, that one. So, I don't know. I just, you know, I just don't believe him. How about that?
Also, because we know that there are FAA regulations, right? So, mm-hmm. if these are lawfully manned aircraft, they would have, like, flight numbers, right? Or they'd have some FAA tags or
something. Yeah,
you
got to, like, register your drone squawk. And some stuff.
They have to squawk when they're in the air. Like, so... He's either lying or they don't honestly
or he's
know.
Lying.
Or they don't have
There's
a
that.
Clue.
He's either lying or he's lying.
It's one of the two.
It's one of the two.
Right.
So you've got some options, you know, lying or lying. It's one of the two. I will never forget that guy going, well, let me tell you what, I'm just going to come out with it. It's drones. It's Iran. I thought my jaw hit the floor. I went, what is this guy doing? And you had to know that they were watching him going, so mad about it, right? But for real, though, I mean, it could be.
It's the same administration that allowed Chinese spy balloons, not once, but two different times.
Yeah.
And so I have no faith in what's currently happening as far as who's guarding our airspace.
Can I also add that the idea of, and remember, Iran has this like business arrangement now. They bought all this drone stuff from China. But if you were going to lie about something, this is a very in-depth thing to lie about. And the way in which he did it, you're an elected member of Congress. You're not just going to make up, let's see, what can I tell him? Well, hell, it was an Iranian mothership. Yeah, that was it. And there's all these drones coming out of it. You're just not going to make that up. That's not something you're just going to make up. That is so oddly specific and so wild. And he was on television in the middle of the day just saying it. So it's so crazy. I believe him. It's that crazy. That's where we are now, right? Satire is people being real. And that guy, he sounds crazy, but that's the truth. Right. That's it. And then John Kirby's lying.
Right.
So I just, you know, I'm just telling you, that's how I view this. Of all the things to say. And he's like, well, I'll be real with you. It's an Iranian mothership. They got it. It's like off the coast of Jersey. That's where it is. Good heavens. Just saying. That's kind of wild. Park a destroyer out there. So I don't know why we would deny it. I mean, if it's so well known that that guy knew about it and then informed the rest of the country, you realize America just looks dumb. If the Biden administration, if they're like, no, there's nothing to see here. Ignore those things in the sky. If I was Iran, I would just send more out just to make them look like, well, you thought these were, here's a ton of them. I mean, we do got to shoot them down. They need to call the good old boy network.
That should be the first move.
I mean, I would be putting, so I don't know if you guys know this, but maybe we can get this implemented during the Trump administration. So if this is happening during the Trump administration, you know, maybe he can go out. You know how they would signal for Batman? And what's the light that they put in the sky cane? It's a bat, right?
Yeah.
Although I got to tell you, I always thought it looked like clown teeth. I have to work really hard to see the bat because all I do is see clown teeth first. Is that weird? It doesn't look like a bat to me immediately. It's clown teeth. And then I have to go, oh, bat.
Maybe some clown trauma we'll have to look into later.
I don't know. That's just, you know, but you could do like a silhouette of a mullet and you could blast it into the sky. And that's the GOB alert, the good old boy alert. And so what happens is when you blast that silhouetted mullet into the sky, then all the GOBs know, oh, it's time to go for America. Let's go get her done. And then they all descend and they know where to go. And then they're just, you know, skeet, 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 getting all that stuff out of the sky. I'm just saying.
That is actually brilliant.
We
need to get patch ops.
Damn, why am I not? Like, I mean, I should be like making policy.
Right. I think patch ops would have a decent patch that would look good in the light.
The G.O. boy, yeah, like a silhouetted mullet. The G.O.B. good old boy network. Yeah,
the B has like a mullet.
Yeah.
The G.O.B.
Ooh, the B is the mullet. Nice, Kane. Thinking of that branding. Nice
design. Can't wait.
And then that's when you know it's, you know, you got to go out there and get all them drones out. You could take care of it like that. You wouldn't even have to compensate these fellers for their ammo. They would gladly do it. I mean, you tell people, y'all want to go shoot some Iranian drones out of the sky? Well, hell yes. They will set their beer down for that. That's a big thing. You know that, like, put it down and get up. They would do that in a heartbeat. You'll know it, too. So I'm just saying that needs to happen. Just the silhouetted mullet in the sky. Uh-oh, if they put out the good old boy call, and then you would have, like, all across America, you know, the good old boys that are getting their superhero suits on, which is just their work boots and their flannel. Let's be real. That's, like, their superhero costume. And they go out and they get her done. That's it. You know, no Batmobile. You just got your trucks and all that. You don't need no Batmobile. You got your four-wheelers. You have your trucks. You don't need no Batmobile. You don't need none of that. Just get out there and get her done. Man, I'm telling you, that needs to happen.
At least a TV show. This sounds fun.
You could also use the GOB network down at the border. You know, skeet, 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 them coyotes coming across. I'm just saying, you could, you know, put that silhouetted mullet in the desert sky, and everybody sees it. Oh, it's the call.
We need to make good old boys great again.
Yeah, right, make good old boys great again. Put that silhouetted mullet in the sky, and they know it's time to come. They know it. They know what it is. They know what it is. And the siren call, free bird. Right? That's it. And if you want to get into their secret, this just keeps going. If you want to get into the secret GOB HQ, you got to open up your Zippo and just flick it on and hold it up. While humming free bird, you get in. That's it. Super simple.
My kind of club.
We just solved that problem right there. Yeah. Look at us solving world problems. I'm not even joking. That would be great. And then you would have all these other foreign powers like, did you see what those crazy ass people did? They put a mullet silhouette in the sky and all these people in flannel came out everywhere with shotguns. Like, what in the world? They'd be too afraid to try Red Dawn here. Oh, heck no. Oh, yeah. Skeet, skeet, skeet. Heck no. All right, so I got a couple of things. We got the pardons. We got to get the pardons. Got to talk about this because apparently, so Joe Biden had like a record number of pardons and commutations. Well, guess what? Part of that included a prisoner swap where the U.S. and China apparently exchanged prisoners. Beijing has kept quiet about the identities of the returned Chinese nationals, the repatriation of at least three of them. They were convicted of espionage and other crimes. Apparently, one was a pederast. I don't know. I love how the foreign ministry spokesperson for China is named Mao, of course. Mao did not name any of those who were returned and did not confirm a prisoner swap, but one did happen. Financial Times cited unnamed U.S. government officials saying three of them were exchanged, three Americans for three Chinese. And apparently, Shanlin Jin was sentenced to 97 months in prison. Jin pled guilty. Plano police were going, they were going through his computer, and they, and this was Dallas Morning News, he attended SMU, 47,000 images of underage, like child pornography images found on his computer. So I don't know why. And that's one of the, apparently one of the people that was provided with clemency is that guy. Why isn't he dead? Immediate murkification. Yeah. Boom. You're done. You're out. If you're a pederast, you're dead. Golly. So Chinese nationals, one of them is a pedophile, and he gets clemency, and they get repatriated back to China. Now, it's interesting how some of the media is not really talking about that too much. They're just saying he had some disturbing material. No, he literally had child pornography on his computer. He was sentenced in 2021, and there was so much of it. Police actually, apparently, according to Dallas Morning News, they stopped going through it. They confirmed over, like, you know, 14, I mean, so many different, they, actually, it was over 1,300 images that he had at one point. And then after they did the full, I guess, tally, it was over 47,000. That's insane. And he gets clemency, and he's repatriated. And apparently records from the Federal Bureau of Prisons show his status is not in federal custody anymore. Why is this guy? I mean, Dallas Morning News, they reported on this guy in 2022. Why was he chosen over others in U.S. custody? Why is an actual pedophile chosen to get repatriated back over other Chinese nationals? I'm very curious. So that's, and there's a lot of outrage over that.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Air passenger numbers to top 5 billion in 2025. Wow. 5 billion. For the first time next year, the sector's revenues are going to break the $1 trillion barrier. According to global aviation body IATA, passenger numbers are expected to reach 5.2 billion in 2025, a 6.7% rise compared to 24, and the first time that the number of those passengers has exceeded the 5 billion mark. And revenues are up 4.4%. So maybe they can stop making the seats small? Possible? Can we stop doing that? A woman won $1,380 for staying smartphone free for 8 hours. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Who wasted their money on this? Who did this? $1,380. In China, she completed a public welfare challenge that tested people's ability to stay away from their smartphones for 8 hours.
8 hours, that's it?
Oh, that's it. So they had no smartphones, no sleeping, no distractions like books or movies. They had to lie flat the entire time and avoid displaying signs of anxiety that they monitored through a wristband. So they just laid there for 8 hours. Yeah. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
It's like $160-some an hour.
Yeah, China. I don't know. There's, what? There's a holiday Guinness shortage? I'm sorry, what? Pubs are warning that Guinness is limited and it could cripple their business. Everybody's stockpiling the Guinness. That's the issues affecting Guinness suppliers. And in fact, a lot of the pubs in the UK, they're sounding the alarm. In fact, they said they're getting fewer barrels a week from the main distributors. And one guy who normally gets 12 50-liter barrels a week said he only got one barrel this week because of the company that owns Guinness. They have allocation limits that they're imposing now. They wanted to make sure that there's enough stock to meet demand over Christmas. They said it's been an exceptional consumer demand for Guinness. So, and the pubs are worried. They're like, we're on our bare bones. Oh my gosh, a Guinness problem? Who drank it all? No, they said that they are there are people who are trying to be a Guinness influencer, And that's a lot of younger people are drinking Guinness. So I'm glad that a lot of younger people are drinking like a good, decent beer instead of the stuff that you wash your beer glasses in. But that's crazy. And they think that a lot of it is the influencer culture. So they've been drinking it all. That's what it is. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Do you think it would be wise of President Biden to preemptively pardon any potential targets? What about your wife, Hillary Clinton? She apparently is on Cash Patel's list.
For what?
Yeah.
Well, they got a problem with her because first, she didn't do anything wrong.
Of course.
What?
Second, she followed the rules exactly as they were written. Mm-hmm. Third, Trump's State Department mm-hmm. found.
Can he not lift his
hand? Remember how the emails were such a big issue in 2016? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Trump's State Department found that Hillary sent and received exactly zero mm-hmm. classified emails.
That's a lie. That's a big, giant, fatty, McFat lie, number one. Yeah. And number two, can he not lift his head up any higher than that? Why was his... Didn't it look like he was suffering under the weight of his eyelids? He was, like, trying to... Jeez. I followed all the rules. I mean, she followed all the rules. She did all those things. Followed the rules. She didn't, though. And that's what an IG report actually discovered. And, in fact... The DOJ just declined to go after her, even though they could have. There's definitely legal recourse to do so. And her claim, I mean, for crying out loud, even the Washington Post said that what Bill Clinton just said was a lie. Of course, they said it originally when she was stating it, you know, years ago. She said, the fact is that I had zero emails that were classified. They said that was a lie. So it wasn't just... I mean, ABC even was explaining how she deleted 33 emails on her private server, how she absolutely did receive classified info. So for him just saying, I would love to be able to just be like, nah. And then knowing that you have such a sycophant, so many sycophants in the press, no one's ever going to question you on it. They're never going to say, well, there's not going to be any kind of follow up. No. Mm-mm. Nope. Not going to happen. Golly, can he not raise his head? You saw him. He was like, he's like this.
Yep. He's up there.
He's I'm trying to, if you're not watching the simulcast, I'm leaning my head over like a cocktail shrimp. He's like,
he looks like he's looking under the desk. That's weird.
I wonder if he thinks there's going to be another close but no cigar underneath there. Wondering, you know, he's used to stuff being under the table. He is Trump's age. That is weird too. He's Trump's age. Yeah. And why is there such a difference? What is, man, being Democrat and being old, you don't age well as an old Democrat. Old Democrats do not age well. Right? Isn't that weird? It's weird. I don't know. Just the whole thing. But he could not even raise his head up. So that's a lie. A couple of other things I want to make sure that we're hitting here, because I think, so this is one. The FBI had 26 sources in D.C., on January 6th. What? Oh, yeah, that's what they're reporting now. Although Politico's trying to say, well, not really, really. What? They had 26 confidential human sources on January 6th. A majority of them, and apparently with a majority of those individuals entering the restricted area of the Capitol during disturbances that day. 26 confidential human sources who were there, who entered the Capitol. And then there were an additional 13 confidential human sources around who were in the perimeter there at the Capitol. Now, they said that none of the CHSs who entered the Capitol or a restricted area have been prosecuted to date. Now, the report, this report, and it's from the Department of Justice Office of the Inspector General, the IG report found that several of those CHSs, what they call the confidential human sources, provided the Bureau with information on the electoral certification process ahead of time. One had been in contact with members of one group, what they call a far-right group. The evidence, the IG found no evidence that the FBI deployed undercover agents within the crowds, but they had all kinds of sources. They had all kinds of confidential human sources. Huh. Kane, they haven't been prosecuted, but the ones who were right with them were prosecuted.
Yeah. What's beyond, up with that? Beyond to the fullest extent of the law.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of interesting. They said that they had, I don't know if I believe that they had no undercover agents, by the way.
This reminds me of like when what they did with Gretchen in Michigan.
Oh, Big Gretch, the entrapment. Yeah. Oh, completely.
It's like that. They put these confidential human sources in and they just start doing these things. And people know that you get a riotous sort of response when groups of people are seen doing what a group of people is doing. You know what I mean?
Trump has said he's going to pardon all of the J6 defendants. He says in his interview, he said, quote, I'm going to do a case by case. And if they were nonviolent, I think they've been greatly punished. He says, yeah, I'm going to look and see if there were some that were really out of control. And he goes, but we're going to do it quickly, and we're going to start in the first hour that I get into office.
Wow. That's huge, actually.
That is super huge. And remember, there were only a tiny amount of prosecutions for the riots in Minneapolis. And they went on for weeks. They cost $500 million in damage. Two people were killed. And there's no comparison. There's just absolutely no comparison. I wanted to switch gears. So this was, apparently, they're selling parts of our border wall for like $5. $5. I'm trying to find the story that I had. It's in, I tweeted it out. Here it is. I tweeted it out. So apparently their government is auctioning off our border wall materials for $5. And yeah, it's an online auction and it's just like huge, massive sections of the border wall that they're auctioning off, and for $5. Well, how are they selling something that they didn't buy?
Yeah.
How does that work? I'm curious.
Where's that money going to go once they do sell it?
Well, yeah, exactly. Where's it going to go if they do sell it? Yeah, exactly. That's the million-dollar question. So this, they're selling, I mean, it looks like the vertical fence. I don't want to say, I guess posts? Is that what this is? They're selling it post by post for $5?
Yeah.
It's not like a section of the wall. It looks like it's just different posts. Why do they have all different pictures of like the same group of posts? I'm curious. Okay.
I heard is it not a mile's worth of posts for $5? Like that's what I thought it was.
I keep seeing different things, but that my question though is, again, remember what we talked about last hour with the GOB network, the good old boy network, and how you could just put a silhouetted mullet in the sky like Batman and call for the good old boys to come and shoot down them Iranian drones. Well, could you not do the same thing here at the border, put that silhouetted mullet into the sky and at night, and then everybody comes down there and they can help? Because we could buy the fence with again, because we already bought it once with our tax dollars, and put it together down there. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, you could do that. I'm just saying. One of our radio listeners, who is hysterical, Valeria, she said, this might sound like appropriation, but they are my people, so I can say this. She says, a couple of kegs and I'll bet I can find some real cheap labor.
It's true.
So we could technically buy them and then build them constructed at the border, right? Look at it like this. It's like a giant adult Lego kit.
Yeah.
The border wall, right?
Yeah.
Put it together down there. Speaking of the border, I dropped some audio for you in Slack. But this thing, and Lorraine notes too, Trump should not have to pardon most of the J6ers real quick because Fisher v. U.S. wipes out the charge that most of them were jailed over. That's fascinating. I want to come back to that tomorrow. That's very interesting. But it's the justice system in D.C., she notes. This was an audio soundbite. So Dick Durbin, and this is all being leveraged to use against Trump and his proposals for immigration and specifically deportation for people who are in the country illegally, things like that. So this is Dick Durbin, who is questioning. This is like one of these hearings. He's questioning this guy. This is the Judiciary Committee, and it's a DACA recipient. And this guy's a DACA recipient, and he's like a grown man. And I want you to listen. It's like a little over a minute. I want you to listen to the soundbite. Fode Ture is his name, and he's a prosecutor. And there's something very interesting to note here. Just listen to this. Listen to this exchange between the both of them.
Mr. Ture, are you undocumented? Pardon me, say it again.
Yes, Senator.
And why are you undocumented?
I came here from a civil unrest. I had no choice. My life was in danger. My mom told me the story when I was trying to get my driver's license.
How old were you when you came?
I came here when I was 7 years old.
What do you do today?
I'm a prosecutor. I represent victims of crimes and go after heinous people that have committed crimes against the Morin's family.
You've talked about Ms. Morin's situation a minute or so earlier, but the perpetrator of the crime against her daughter, Rachel, would be the type of person that you would prosecute?
Yes, Senator.
I think there is a fundamental difference we're being asked to acknowledge here. Is there a difference between Mr. Ture and the animal who attacked Ms. Morin's daughter? Of course there is. This man, for a living, is prosecuting criminals.
He's a criminal.
This other individual is a clear criminal with a record. When we say massive deportation, should we consider them the same because they're both undocumented?
So here's the problem. This guy is a grown man. I want to know how someone gets to be a prosecutor if you don't have a Social Security number and you don't have, you know, like actual documentation. And he's a criminal prosecuting criminals. The grace ended when he never went to go and get the proper visa. The grace is gone because he never went and did that. Was it H-1B? He never went and got the proper visa. He could have started that process at any point. And because he's a DACA recipient, he was protected from deportation under the law. He could have started when he was filling out forms to go to college, when he was going to get his driver's license. I mean, hell, he could have started it there. He could have at any point started the process to become a legal citizen, and he chose to not do that. So you can say that he's making for his living a career prosecuting criminals, but he himself is a criminal because he never followed the law to become a legal citizen in the United States, even though he had ample opportunity to do so. So at some point, that deniability, him being brought over when he was a child by his parents, that I totally understand. That's not his fault. But when he became an adult and he knew he was here, that he was brought illegally and that he could be protected from deportation as a DACA recipient, only if he just filled out the paperwork and he just started the process, everything would be okie dokie. He chose to not do that. So at that point, he willingly chose to be a criminal. That's how that works. So he can prosecute criminals, but he himself is a criminal. And that's the difference.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And make sure you sign up for Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff that comes out over there, including Lorraine's latest write-up about all of the legal activity that you may have missed last week in legal. So you're going to want to see that as well. I wanted to play Audio Soundbite 19. Anthony Blinken he apologized to these families in Afghanistan, and he finally admits, only now, after Biden is on his way out, that they bear some culpability in this. Listen to this.
As I said, our thoughts are with all of the Gold Star families. They're with the State Department and USAID employees who lost their lives over the course of 20 years of our military involvement in Afghanistan. And I think today especially, of the 13 heroes that we lost at Abbey Gate, and I deeply regret that we did not do more and could not do more to protect them. And to those families who are here with us today, you're in my thoughts,
oh, wow,
my prayers. I wish that Nicole was here with us today. I'm deeply sorry that she's not.
You know, this is so late in coming. He says, you know, you're in my thoughts and my prayers. I regret that we did not do more and could not do more to protect them. Well, you could have. I mean, it's that you just didn't. It's not about that there wasn't anything else that you could do. It's that you just chose not to do what you could. And that's the truth of it. They knew that the terrorist who blew them up, they knew that he was a terrorist. They knew he was affiliated with Taliban. They knew that he had an explosive on him. They knew that he had been doing like dry runs on the gate. They knew all of this stuff. In fact, the trial with the families, I have a very dear friend that worked with the families legally. And from what I understand, they were very well aware that this guy was a threat, that something was going to happen. They were anticipating this. And I think it just shows you the strength of those 13 servicemen and women, that they stood their ground. They stayed. They were following orders. And they knew it was coming. Can't even imagine that feeling. Ask me again why the military has a tough time recruiting. No amount of messaging is going to wipe that up. You need new leadership, top down. Today's stupidity came.
Speaking of new leadership, cut three, Juan. Dan Goldman, who's a representative, says that Chris Wray, head of the FBI who resigned yesterday, should have waited for Trump to fire him. These are the people we're dealing with. Listen to this.
Christopher Wray wanted to do what was best for the FBI. That is not what is probably best, or I would say what is best for the country. I would have much rather that he waited and made Donald Trump actually justify firing
him. I've always thought that Dan Goldman's a clown, an absolute clown.
Yeah, when is he not? There was never any alternative to think about.
But his noting that change for leadership is absolutely needed, Christopher Wray out of there is exactly what we need.
Exactly. Yeah, completely. So this is going to be very, very, very interesting as we move towards January. And that's what we're all waiting for. Folks, tomorrow is Friday. Make sure you sign up for Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube and Facebook. Like and subscribe. We will be back with you tomorrow to get you set up for the weekend.